Welcome to Financial Peace University, Lesson 2, Relating with Money.
Please welcome Dave Ramsey.
Thank you. Thanks. Welcome to Relating with Money in Financial Peace University. Money and relationships, oh my goodness. Soon as you say money and relationships, we all go, uh-oh. There's family, there's extended family, there's marriage, there's the singles, there's the kids. Anytime you think about money and relationships, you think about friction. You think about a chance to mess things up. You think about something that could be off. I mean, we all know it's a struggle point. Those of us that are married, we're sure it's a struggle point. You know, I'm often interviewed in the press and they're saying, Dave, why do you discuss the finances through the lens of the Bible? Why do you talk about biblical finances? Are you like some kind of Christian crusader or something? And I went, well, no, for me, it's common sense. Personal finance is 80% behavior. And if it's 80% behavior, it's only 20% head knowledge, then we got to know that anything that affects behavior affects our ability to succeed with money. And so that would be our spiritual walk. And so we're going to talk about it through the lens of the Bible. I'm a Christian. I'm proud of that. We do that all over the place in mainstream media. We do that in mainstream venues as I'm speaking. And the reason is because it works. Biblical finance works. It works because it deals with me, the person, and changing me more than it deals with some kind of abstract mathematical concept. The reason biblical finance works is it makes us deal with our relationships. It makes us deal with our emotions. And I will tell you, there's a huge correlation between those people who win at relationships and those people who end up winning at money. Because there's the same kind of dynamic going on there. It's very, very, very important. Very few people win at money long term and don't have some kind of ability to work with others, to play well with others. And certainly there's a huge correlation between quality marriages for those of us that are married and our ability to win with money, our ability to deal with conflict in that setting. Behavior is tied to our relationships, and relationships are tied with money. The flow of money in your household, in a household, represents the value system that that household is operating under. Who's in charge? What's the power flow? What are the fears? What are the positive things in our character attributes? What are the negative things in our character attributes? What's good going on in our relationships? What's bad? How do we feel? How hopeful are we? All of these things are represented in our value system, and it causes us to handle money according to that system. Jesus said this. He said that your treasure is where your heart is. What you do with your money says what's important to you. Larry Burkett used to call this the checkbook test. Back in the old days when we all kept a checkbook and you wrote out everything, what you wrote a check for, if you would just run your hand down the checkbook, you could tell what was important to someone. Because they spend their money and they spend their time and they spend their energy on the things that are important to them. Well, you and I are the same exact way. When it comes to men and women and money, we view money differently. Gary Smalley, the great marriage counselor, he says that men are different than women and that men share facts. Women share feelings. Now, women can be factual and men can be emotional, but by and large, our default mechanism is we're going to go to facts and feelings. Men connect by doing things. Some of the best times I've ever had with my son is when we're doing something. When both of us are just sitting, we don't know what to do. But when we're building something or we're playing together or we're skiing together or something like that, that's two men connecting. My sons-in-law, the same situation. I enjoy doing things with them. Ladies connect by talking. They communicate. We don't know what that is. Strange to us. I mean, my son and I got in the car a while back, and I've told this story many times, and we were driving from Nashville to Knoxville to a football game. We drove 200 and something miles, almost 3 hours. And hardly said a word. And we were both fine. We kind of liked it that way. It was okay. And it's not that we're all stopped up or something. That's just guys. We don't have to do that. We were just fine counting the mile markers and doing the math in our head. You know, I mean, right? Men and women are different. Dennis Rainey talks about this in Family Life Today. He says women are more verbal than men. Generally speaking, men will speak about 30 to 40,000 words a day. Ladies will speak about 70 to 80,000 words a day with gusts up to 125,000. Smalley says that men are more controlling and women are more agreeable, to which the ladies said, amen. Smalley says that men are more independent and ladies are more interdependent. You just don't see a bunch of guys getting up and going to the restroom at the same time. That would be weird, but ladies do it in herds. I mean, they just go. When I'm running and training for a marathon, I want to go run by myself. I'm just fine like that. Just leave me alone. Let me have my tunes. I'm good. My wife goes to the Y. She runs with her little running herd, right? They got a running herd there at the Y, and they run together. And that it's a social event for them. For me, I'm just herding. Leave me alone, right? It's a different thing. John Gray says in Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, that men define ourselves by our ability to achieve results. Don't miss that in the money subject. Men define ourselves by our ability to achieve results, where women tend to define themselves by the quality of their relationships. The quality of their relationships. We see this reflected, some of these differences reflected in the area of the emergency fund. In the super savings lesson, I told you baby step one was $1,000 in the bank. Do you remember that? Say yes.
Yes.
And then we jumped over to baby step three, and a fully funded emergency fund is how many months?
3 to 6 months
of expenses set aside in the emergency fund. When we start talking about putting $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 aside, men say stuff like, this is boring. It's not sophisticated enough. Women, on the other hand, say this is the most important key to our financial plan. Men and women process the subject of the emergency fund differently. Guys want to do something with it. We want to fix it. We can't imagine something just sitting there, not hardly earning any interest. We want to put it in a bond fund. We want to put it in a BBD of some kind, a bigger, better deal. There's something, I got to get this thing in. And ladies are going, leave that alone. It's sitting there for emergencies. I need all the men in the room to stand up, please. All the men, stand up, please. Now, man, I'm sure you know this, and we've been talking about it for the last few minutes, but it's very true. Women are different, aren't they? Say yes.
Yes.
And one of the things you may or may not know is they have a gland right in here that you don't have. It's called the security gland. And when she is feeling insecure due to money issues or job issues or financial problems, that gland spasms. And it is attached to her face. So what I have figured out is this. Guys, it doesn't matter what you think. She knows down inside of her the way that God has wired her to have an emergency fund. And I'm going to teach you, for those of you that are married or ever want to be married, two things that will revolutionize your marriage on this subject of money. One is how to do a budget together, and then the other one is to have this emergency fund. Guys, it's an investment in your relationship to have a fully funded emergency fund. It causes her to relax in a place you don't even have. So what I'm saying is you don't have to get it, you just gotta get it. Am I right, ladies?
Yes.
All right, all the men have a seat, please. And if you will look at the screen, you will see what happens, men, if you don't get an emergency fund. I love it. You know what she's saying, don't you? My mama said you were going to be a failure. You know that's what that is. Oh, my goodness. When it comes to shopping, men and women process shopping differently. Men get good deals by negotiating. We go to one store, pull out a bazooka, and we get out our $100 bills and we're going to go get a deal in that store. We're going to do conflict. We're going to come home. We're going to kill something and drag it to the cave. And ladies, on the other hand, they get good deals by hunting and hunting. And hunting, and hunting, and hunting. We went to this marriage conference one time, Sharon and I, and this marriage guy said, he was just wrong. It was a bad idea. He said, if you want to create intimacy with your wife, men, go shopping with them. That was just a big fight. That didn't work at all. That wasn't intimacy. That took 3 days of marriage counseling to get out of that. It was more like what Gary Smalley said. He tells the story of when you go to the mall, here's what happens. He says, you get out of the car, and you go to the mall with your wife, and your wife gets out, and what's the guy do? He goes, identify the target. What are we here for? I'm going to map out the shortest way through the store. I'm going to quickly go to the rack, pull the item off the shelf. I will analyze the registers as I'm walking toward them, see which one's moving the quickest. I will get in the line, and we will be back to the car in 17.7 minutes. Synchronize our watches. Go. And the lady's going, no, 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 no. Wait. We're here to experience this. We're going in every store. We're going to touch and feel everything in every store. We're going to buy a bunch of stuff, and while we're checking out, we're going to discuss the checkout girl's family problems with her. And we're going to take all this stuff home, and tomorrow we're going to bring most of it back. And the guy's going, that is a lot of work to get some stuff. I could have just gone in there and got it. Why do we have to go through all this? Because it's an experience. So once Sharon and I figured out these differences, we have a plan now. I'm really good at negotiating. She's really good at hunting and hunting and hunting. She gets good deals, but she doesn't get them through conflict. She gets them through hunting until she finds someone that will pay her to take it almost, right? But what she does is she goes and hunts down the best deal. She narrows the field down to that one, and then she sends out her warrior to kill it. But we don't go together. She wears me out, and I embarrass her. I mean, I can be on stage for 5 hours speaking. My feet don't hurt. I walk into a mall, my feet hurt to my neck in 30 seconds. We process things differently. Men and women do. And you need to listen to me very carefully. Men lose self-esteem in a financially troubled situation because with men, money represents a scorecard typically. Now, what that means, ladies, if you're in here financially struggling, that means that your man does not feel great about himself right now. He doesn't feel like Sir Galahad. He may be all looking good, got the stiff upper lip, all that kind of stuff, but he inside, he's dying. And, you know, sometimes, you know, his sword could be a little bit rusty. Sir Galahad's armor could have a little moss on it. And the last thing he needs in the middle of that is a barking chihuahua around his ankles. Yip, 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 yip. He may find one last use for that sword. Ladies, on the other hand, face fear because that security gland spasms. Sharon made us change this. She said it's not fear, it's terror. Because money represents security to ladies in a way that guys don't get. Now, here's what's weird. Sometimes ladies are stronger emotionally on this subject to fight through it than men are. But they're afraid in a place, guys, that you don't even have. So, again, if you're in here and you're struggling financially and you're in a marriage situation, men, listen to me carefully. Your lady needs an extra 3 to 6 non-sexual hugs a day. Now, I'll help you with that because some of you don't know what that is. That's touch for the purpose of reassurance that is going nowhere. Okay. We started this thing together. We're going to go through it together. It's that kind of hug. It's the hug you have in the middle of a storm. Because you're in the middle of a storm. That's the type of thing I'm talking about. And so, ladies, you need to understand your guy needs to be reassured by you that you love him not because of what he produces. You love him for him. And guys, your lady needs to be assured that we're not going to melt down, that this whole thing's not going to fall apart. They may take the car, but they're not taking our marriage. That we may have to get a different house, but there's a house on every corner. We'll figure this thing out together. We're hanging on to each other. This is a big deal. This stuff will take your marriage. Bankruptcy and divorce, they're two brothers that hang out together. It's not unusual for a divorce attorney to tell someone to file bankruptcy or a bankruptcy attorney to tell someone to file divorce. These are best friends. And so these stresses are real, and it's the number one cause of divorce in North America. Money fights. Utah State University did a study that says that those who disagreed about money once a week were twice as likely to divorce as those who differed less than once a month. So if you have one fight a month or four fights a month, twice as likely to get divorced about money. Big deal. A couple with $10,000 in debt and no savings, all the statistics in this same study said, you're twice as likely to get divorced as someone with $10,000 in savings and no debt. That's a big number. And neither one of those are huge amounts of debt or huge amounts of savings. But it's the feeling we get, this sense of working together, this sense of power, this sense of hopefulness about our future. It changes everything. And you know, when we first get married, you know, the preacher lies to us. You go down the aisle, dun, dun, ta, dun, 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 ta, dun. And he says, and now you are one. You remember that first year? You about killed each other. You remember? Yeah, your mama's ugly too, you know? Sharon and I didn't get a divorce. We hung on to each other, but sometimes it was just to get a better grip. Frying pan throwing in East Tennessee where she's from is an Olympic event. Well, Dennis Rainey talks about this at Family Life Today. He says, what happens is we get married and you've got your agenda and your spouse has their agenda. It's almost as if you have two blueprints and you're trying to build a house at the same time. One of you's got blueprints for a two-story house and one of you has blueprints for a tri-level. And if you don't sit down and figure this thing out, you're going to build a pretzel. So you got to learn to work together. Opposites attract too, don't they? Now, not only are men and women different, but one of you's in here right now burning up. And the other one is freezing to death. One of you is on time for everything. And the other one, late, late, late. Late. I have to be on time. It's part of being a nerd. I have to be on time. Drives me crazy to be late. Drives me nuts. And when our kids were little, we almost lost our religion getting ready for church. I'm in there going, by the time we get there, people, Jesus is going to be gone. Let's go. Get going here. And Sharon used Steve and Annie Chapman's line on me one Sunday. She said, why don't we trade places this Sunday? You get the kids ready and I'll go out in the driveway and honk the horn. Opposites attract. One of you is a spender and one of you is a saver. And you need each other. You spenders need a saver in your life. So you don't have to retire and order that cookbook, 72 Ways to Prepare Alpo and Love It. You savers need a spender in your life so you have a life. Someone has to get you out of the cave other than on Triple Coupon Thursday. Opposites attract. And when you agree on your value system and you learn to work through the differences in male and female and the differences in the opposites, you're going to find that you reach a unity in your marriage that you can experience in no other way. And unity is powerful. Unity is a biblical concept. When we are unified, it causes us to be bigger than the two. It creates this thing that the mainstreamers call synergy. But those of us that know Scripture know that that's God showing up in the middle of a unified something. When a group of people get unified, when you get unified in your marriage, it adds power. Zig Ziglar talks about this with the old Belgian horse story. And the Belgian horse, in case you don't know, is a huge plow horse, much like a Clydesdale or something. This is a massive horse. And you buckle that dude into a harness and he's pulling weight. A Belgian horse can pull 8,000 pounds. Here's what's amazing. You put two Belgian horses together the same size who have never met. They've never been trained together. They've never been buckled in harnesses together. You put them in there. You would think that if one can pull 8,000, then two ought to be able to pull 16,000, right? Say yes.
Yes.
Two of them that have never been trained together can pull 24,000 pounds. Three times as much as one. Train them for 6 weeks together where they pull together, yoked equally. Does that sound like Scripture? When they learn to pull together in tandem, training, one can pull 8,000, two trained in unity can pull four times as much, 32,000 pounds. That's amazing. That's true with your money. It's true with your life. When you're pulling together in the raising of your children, when you're pulling together in the implementation of your careers,